Welcome back to the Lazy Muse Podcast. This is episode 11. I'm Jimmy G.
I'm Eric Grattan.
We're just a couple of actors who sit around and talk about the shit that we like to watch.
We do. We try and keep it positive, but when shit sucks, we gotta call it out.
We got to go.
As you would with us.
We got to be faux real. Keeping it legit.
Ish.
Representing.
Sometimes.
So we got a little competition going on, a giveaway. For whoever gives us the best feedback, whether that be positive or negative, only at the iTunes store.
It seems to me that Jimmy is shooting for positive, but I gotta tell you, I'm really hoping for a nice, long, negative, creative review here.
Well, yeah, and that's the thing. Creative.
I'm looking at you, Grog.
Creative. So, whoever does give us the best feedback is eligible to win a free entry into any Reebok Spartan race anywhere here in these continental United States.
This is vaguely like the Tough Mudder or like any of those other ones you're talking about, but with a little Reebok spin.
That's right. A little bit of muddy, dirty race here.
And living up here in Nike country, we can support that.
Right. I didn't even think about that. And if you want a 15% discount into any of those same races, just go to our Facebook page. That's Facebook.com/TheLazyMuse.
The forward slash will not take you there.
Right. Will or is that
maybe
like
it will, I don't know.
Will it take you to like a porn place or something?
Here's hoping.
All right.
Whitehouse.org.
Click, 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 yeah. type. So we don't really have anything specific here. I mean, we have a topic.
Can we talk about our
Let's
beer
talk
first?
About this. Hales Ales.
Hales Ales Kölsch. And that's Kölsch.
Kölsch.
Kölsch. Because there is an umlaut there.
There is.
Even though, as we talked about recently, Jimmy has informed me that they are doing away with the umlaut.
Gone.
That really frustrates me.
And, you know, so
How
of course.
How do you feel about that, Steve Osama?
This is made here in America. America.
Yes.
In Washington.
It's German style.
Made here in Washington. The guys over at the Beer Advocate give this an 84.
That's not bad.
So
it's
good.
I like it this far.
It's good. I like the Kirsch style. It's a nice, refreshing beer. It's a light beer. It's a type of beer you can drink on a hot, sunny day.
Yes.
It would be refreshing and what I call a session beer. So you can have several of them.
I feel that the only thing is missing is that I'm drinking out of a mug and not a stein. I need something with a lid if I'm going to drink this beer. Yeah.
There's
oh,
stein right over there.
To my right.
I don't know
me,
if
everybody.
It's clean.
It will be.
So we're drinking this nice little beer here. Bravo to Hales Kölsch. We do have some comments at iTunes and at Facebook, but we don't have a winner yet. And remember, the giveaway goes until we're running this until the season finale of Game of Thrones.
Do we actually have iTunes comments?
We do. So we're gathering more. We need you to beef that up. Head on over.
The winner is the winner, ladies
right.
and gentlemen.
So,
all right, so this is not a clean stein, but I'm pouring my beer in nonetheless.
Hopefully he doesn't get some kind of lead poisoning or some residue
there we
from
go,
old.
Everybody.
Okay, so
I feel like I need another one of these to fill up the stein.
We are going to talk today.
It's very important.
So yesterday I did a solo trip to the Before 12 movie viewing, and I saw Star Trek Into Darkness.
I'm really sorry to have missed it. I missed it because I had rehearsal for my acting class, which is not a phrase that I've said for 12 years.
Right.
And while it went well, I can't say that I would have preferred to do that than see Star Trek Into Darkness. So, by the way, the number of times that I've heard radio commercials where some movie theater has told me to go see this movie and they've called it Star Trek Into the Darkness has made me both think that the people who produce radio commercials are terrible and the people
right.
who are the voice talent in these radio commercials are likewise terrible.
All right. Or told, no, say the.
Yeah, I'd fight that. I don't fight a lot with my directors in whatever I do, but I got to tell you, if they tried to tell me to say
right.
the wrong title, I would fight.
Right. That's not correct.
Yeah.
It's factually incorrect.
Factually inaccurate.
What you want me to do. All right. So I won't give anything away about Into Darkness, because Eric hasn't seen it, but I do have to say, OMG, Benedict Cumberbatch is so dreamy.
Yeah, our friend Poignan, friend of the podcast,
right,
lives in Boston in the Commonwealth of Massachusetts, is changing his name to Cumberbatch Cumberbatch, and he wonders if that's just a little too British, but he doesn't care.
Right, and what did Bren say? Brennerbatch Cumberbatch?
That'll work, Brennerbatch okay? Cumberbatch.
So he's, I mean, the whole cast is great, but I've dug this guy since I was introduced to him in the new BBC Sherlock Holmes series.
Well, and of course he's in War Horse. Oh, War Horse.
I didn't see that.
Yeah, no, I won't see it, but I have a very good friend who's in the national tour of War Horse, and I still couldn't bring myself to see it, but the Saturday Night Live version of it is pretty brilliant.
right. So, Star Trek.
Yeah, how do we want to start this?
God,
we're
going to
talk
so much
for about 25 minutes about the, I don't know, international phenomenon that is Gene Roddenberry's Star Trek.
Yeah, you could argue that the whole the phenomenon
of
comic book conventions, of having a career
of television,
of walking around and just signing autographs and speaking. It really comes from Star Trek.
Well, in the first modern mainstream pop culture science fiction phenomenon is Star Trek anyway. Everything that comes before it can be considered ancient.
Right.
You know,
because Flash Gordon was certainly a serial show.
Yeah,
movie.
But, you know, how many 14-year-olds have heard of Flash Gordon?
Right.
Know? I mean, it's not only was it the very first interracial kiss on television...
Right.
But it was the first example of a...
strong black woman.
Well, I wasn't even going to go there, but, I mean, don't get me started on Uhura. I mean, please.
Yeah.
But I was going to talk about the fact that the audience saved it.
Right.
It was there for 65 episodes?
Yeah, two seasons,
I
about.
Think.
Yeah.
And then nothing until the audience clamored and clamored and clamored and never shut up. And then all of a sudden you have seven... movies?
A movie. And the movies were...
A mixed bag.
Oh. The first four movies were, I thought, fantastic. And these are from the 80s. I was a kid.
Well, 70s.
Yeah, what was it? What was the first one?
We
should
look
that up. I want
to say 78.
For,
the
you
first
know,
one, I want to talk for a second about the first one. It was directed by who is my second or third favorite director in film history. A Hall of Famer named Robert Wise, who directed, among many other things, the original version of Klaatu Barata Nikto, which was remade not too long ago with the very mortal Keanu Reeves. And I want to talk for a second about the first one, because, among other things, I mean, it's the first movie based on a TV show that went on to have a long history life. But the first movie was directed by a man named Robert Wise, who is in my top three of all time in Hall of Fame directors. And he directed that. He directed The Day the Earth Stood Still, which is freaking brilliant.
Right.
He directed horror classics like The House on Telegraph Hill.
The Andromeda Strain.
The Andromeda Strain, which...
The Sound of Music?
The Sound of Music, my friend.
Come on.
Not just that. I mean, he directed The Hindenburg, which is not great, but West Side Story. Mm. In tandem, and we can talk about this, in tandem with Jerome Robbins, but Run Silent, Run Deep. He is a really, really under-remembered film director. The Body Snatcher in 1945. Curse of the Cat People, one of the... Early,
ooh,
brilliant versions of modern horror. And he was one of the assistant directors and assistants on The Magnificent Ambersons by Orson Welles.
Mm.
And he went on to do so many things. The Haunting is a fantastic horror movie. All of these amazing movies. And Star Trek, the motion picture.
Yes, Star Trek, the motion picture. All of the original cast members of the sort of core
the core cast certainly
are make their way to the screen. In this, I mean, I don't know. I'm just talking out of my ass here.
Oh, Oh, please. I love this.
Can we say that Star Trek sort of spawned the idea of franchise? I mean, we have several different series based on this world.
Possibly the modern version of it. I mean, you go back to the 30s, 40s, 20s, mm-hmm. even the teens.
We have franchises?
We have franchises, absolutely.
Like what?
Well, the aforementioned Cat People was a sequel to one of the earlier Cat People movies. You know, you had the Frankenstein movies. There were nine.
But I mean something different than sequels. I mean, because the franchise is, you know, we have Star Trek and we have Deep Space Nine. We have Voyager. These are different iterations. So they're not sequels.
Well, then if we're talking about Star Trek, then we have to start with Gene Roddenberry, who is the creator, of course. And it's important to note that the idea, really, for Star Trek comes from his experience with Have Gun, Will Travel.
A Western?
Western TV series, yes. Which he did pretty much directly before his adventures in outer space. And it's got a very similar vibe to it. It's a person who, in the first one, is a kind of gunfighter lawman, and in the second one is the captain of the Starship Enterprise. It's a very similar thing. It's a mixture. Star Trek is really a mixture of Have Gun, Will Travel and Wagon Train. You know?
Right.
It's this idea that the right motives will lead us to a better world.
Right. Well, and Star Trek is known for, especially the first series of Star Trek movies, and then certainly the series Star Trek The Next Generation, are kind of, you know, liberals in space.
Definitely.
It's about, you know, like, if we were to do things the right way as a people, as a species, this is the way it should be done, you know. It starts off with the premise of there's no more war, there's no more disease, you know, things like that.
But the main characters are not what I would particularly call liberal. They have liberal ideals.
Right. The world.
But they flaunt the laws that they've made so amazingly brazenly.
Right.
It's fantastic.
Right. And, you know, when you talk about Star Trek, you have to talk about legend making. Both the creator, the writers of the show, and then we have to give some props to, you know, William Shatner.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, Leonard Nimoy or Nimoy, depending on if you're an inside the actor studio watcher.
Who the hell says Nimoy?
James Lipton.
Lipton? Lipton went to my grad school.
I believe.
Jimmy?
Nimoy.
Jimmy, I'm talking to you. It's Leonard Nimoy, Jimmy.
Yeah, I
know
agree.
You went to grad school in the Middle West, where I'm from. Don't pretend, Jimmy.
It's Nimoy. Yeah, no, it's Nimoy.
Of course it is.
But, I mean, because these characters are so legendary that we're paying homage to them with this reboot of the franchise.
Oh, yeah.
And they're trying to marry ideas here. They're trying to take Kirk and all these characters as they were built by these actors.
Oh, yeah.
And stay true to that while going in a new direction and staying true to the stories that were told, but with a twist.
Well, I want to talk about for a second. This week I've rewatched the first one because my girlfriend was a huge...
The first reboot.
Yes, the first J.J. Abrams.
Right.
And she was a huge fan of the original series because her stepfather was a big fan, and they watched it together. And, I mean, that's how I became a big fan. My dad and I watched it, and, you know, I mean, I'm old, but I'm not that old, you know.
Right.
But it's important that she refused to watch it. She wouldn't do it because who on earth is going to play Captain Kirk? Who on earth is going to play Spock? Who's going to replace DeForest Kelly? You know, Walter Koenig isn't going to come on and be Chekhov again. You know, how on earth is this going to happen?
Right.
And I convinced her finally to watch it this week. And the thing that is best about these movies is how much they respect the original characters while completely fucking with them. You know, I mean, you get Carl Urban to run on to...
Right.
The first time you see Carl Urban as Bones, he he comes on and does his DeForest Kelley impression.
Right.
And he does it amazingly
right.
well. It's
right.
it's full-on Rich Little bullshit impression for that
yeah.
first scene.
And
then
is fine.
He gets to play whatever he wants.
Right, yeah. You know? It, right, right. He's like he's exercising the demon.
Yeah.
Just nod your head like we're not going to forget. We're not forgetting
yeah.
about these people.
Hey, you little Brit bastard. Come
right.
on and do your best to DeForest Kelley.
And
we'll love you
It's
forever.
Fun watching him do it.
He's amazing.
Yeah, I was very excited to see it, unlike your lovely significant other. And I loved the original as much, but I was excited that it was coming back.
By the way, I'm sorry, Carler, but I called you a Brit. You're a Kiwi. I feel very
right.
bad.
They probably
that
hate
that
shit.
Yeah. I'm very sorry, Carler, but I think you're amazing, and I love you, and you're older than me, so I love you more.
And this Carl, you know, he's a sci-fi mainstay.
Yeah.
And this guy's in a lot of the big sci-fi
yeah,
movies.
Yeah, he's Dredd, dude. He's Dredd. He's in Doom, for God's sake. He's in the Bourne
yeah.
movies. He's
Riddick?
Yeah. I mean, we talked about that. Yeah. I'm not as impressed with that. But
still in
he's,
it.
He's real. And to me, and we've talked about this, our very mutual friend, Rich Fromm, to me, Carl Urban, I see him and I think of Rich Fromm. I think
yeah.
they're the same actor.
So, you know, I'm watching this movie, and it's a play off of Wrath of Khan, Star Trek.
Well, of course it is, because you have Cumberbatch.
And a
playing.
Little bit of Star Trek 3.
Oh.
As well. And
no, wait, so no spoilers.
No spoilers.
But answer this question at the same time. Spock dies and is brought back. That's the only way it can be both number two and number three.
It's both number two, number three. That does not happen.
Okay.
But it still stays true to it.
Okay.
In true J.J. Abrams fashion, he gives you what you want, but with a twist.
All right. So
and
are you
it
telling
is
me,
touching. Like,
does
I,
the Genesis
I,
Project happen?
I got teary.
Does the Genesis Project
no.
happen?
Don't need it.
It cannot be number two and number three.
I promise you, Eric.
Project.
I right. promise you, it can.
We don't see Kirk's grown
because
son then.
JJ
number two has
knows
Kirk's grown son.
What he's doing. No, he can't have a grown son because
that's
in the movies, Kirk
thing.
Was a middle-aged
that's
man.
The biggest part of
they're making
two.
Him. All no, right. it's not.
It is.
It isn't the biggest part. It's the all least right. part. Nobody cared about his son.
I cared about his son.
He was an expendable crew member from the beginning.
You're killing me.
But.
All right. So if it's a mixture of two and three.
Yes.
At the very least, you got to tell me there's someone playing the Paul Winfield character.
No.
Nobody playing the Paul Winfield character.
Maybe.
Melissa Sweet is not in this movie.
Maybe. Now that you say it twice, maybe.
Maybe.
But again, and this is what makes J.J. Abrams brilliant, is.
Okay.
Maybe he's there, but with a twist.
You don't need a twist with Paul Winfield. You're killing me here.
It's very interesting what J.J. Abrams does here.
I mean, we've talked about Cliffhanger and how much we love it.
Right.
This is Paul Winfield. We've talked about Star Trek The Next Generation.
Yes.
Do you remember the episode where he's trapped on the planet talking only in metaphors?
No.
Blah, blah, and dado, and tanagra.
I don't remember.
Oh, you're killing me here. This is Paul Winfield. He is a mainstay in the Star Trek universe. If you're going to tell me that we have Wrath of Khan and Search for Spock and we don't have a Paul Winfield character, I'm done with you.
I think you'll still like this.
Okay.
It's
God rest his soul, by the way.
It's just, I thoroughly enjoy this movie. There were
okay.
some, you know, here and there were some things where I was like, hey, you don't need to beat me over the head with it. I get it.
Sure.
I get it.
Sure.
But, you know, for the most part, it's really good. And, you know, you can't say it enough. Oh, my God, Benedict Cumberbatch is so dreamy.
All right, okay. Let's move on for a second and get back to Star Trek until we get to the J.J. Abrams stuff.
Yes.
We've talked about
so,
the original, we've talked about the movies. Let's talk a little Next Generation.
We have Next Generation, you know, Patrick Stewart.
Yeah.
What, Frakes? What's
oh,
his
yeah.
first
Frakes,
name?
Great. Jonathan.
Brent Spiner.
Brent Spiner of Night Court fame.
Right.
You gotta go Night Court with Prince Peter.
And what I love about that series, I mean, they really got into the, the perfect Earth thing. Like, we got it figured out.
I remember sitting in my living room with my dad in 1989, in the evening, much past my bedtime, waiting for the series premiere of that, which was, do you remember? It was not on a network. The Next Generation
was
in syndication.
It was on what was the channel? The new channel?
No, it completely depends on where you lived.
Right.
This was a syndicated series.
Right.
Which was huge.
The whole run?
At least the first several seasons. I don't remember if it ended up on a network.
I don't either. No, I'm sure it didn't.
Certainly just syndicated.
Right.
Which was awesome.
Yeah, brave, too.
Well, it's the only way nobody would take a chance on it.
But it was just silly to me.
Oh, yeah. No, a lot of people could have made a lot of money. a lot of people did make a lot of money.
So it was... That was a reboot, kind of. You know, they're like, well, we're going to bring it back, but we'll take it into the future so that we can really update everything.
Oh, yeah.
Because our special effects are way better.
Well,
our set designs are better.
But do you remember, within the run of that series, they brought back James Doolin, God rest his soul. In the very first couple episodes, they brought back Forest Kelly, God rest his soul.
Right.
They brought back...
all as
Spock.
Like 130-year-old people.
Oh, yeah. Well, no, James Doolin had been frozen. You know, Spock is a long-lived Vulcan, so that's fine.
He's still popping up.
Right, he's still around. They weren't without respect for the original fans, which was huge.
Oh, yeah. And
so then the first spinoff of that was Deep Space Nine.
Deep Space Nine.
Made sure both O'Brien and Worf ended up on that show.
Right. Worf much later.
Later,
right?
Yeah.
And I have to say Deep Space Nine was my least favorite.
Of all of them?
Not out of all of them. I mean...
Of those three.
The last iteration was...
You weren't a fan of Enterprise, but did you like...
It was okay.
Did you like...
It's okay.
Did you like Captain Janeway better than...
Better than Picard?
No. Oh. Better than a man called Hawk.
I don't know the actor's name.
Avery Brooks,
right. And it wasn't acting. It wasn't because of the acting.
No,
for me, it was,
asking
I miss a spaceship.
Show.
I wanted to see...
Voyager was better than the
spaceship.
Space
I enjoyed it more because it was a spaceship.
I think
they got and Voyager. I dug that they had a female captain. I was like, that's...
Oh, she's wonderful.
Kind of weird, you know?
No, she's wonderful, too. I mean, ever since Rima Williams, The Adventure Begins... You gotta love her.
And wasn't she in Ringers, the Jeremy Irons movie where she's sleeping with the...
No.
Jeremy Irons plays with two...
No.
Do you know what I'm talking about?
I do. Dead Ringers, David Cronenberg is what you're thinking of, but no, that's not her.
And you're positive?
I'm utterly 100%.
All right. So, but I did enjoy her, regardless of what she was in.
Oh, yeah, you're thinking of Genevieve Pujol.
Am I?
Who was in Dead Ringers. Yes.
How was that the chick? Was she in... She has something to do with Star Trek. Was she in the movies? Was she one of the Borg?
I don't.
The female
remember.
Borg? Well, we'll have to look that up. I mean, this is the thing about off the cuff is you have to take some pauses to do some research.
I really and truly don't think she ever had a Star Trek moment.
But
she's amazing and awesome, but almost positive she never had a Star Trek.
Star Trek The Next Generation gave us one of the great bad guys, and that's the Borg.
Yes.
I mean, these guys were just fun.
Oh, yeah. And they continued forever.
And, you know, they had sort of a tradition of, you know, the main bad guy in the original series were the Klingons, so when we come back, we have the Klingons, you know, integrated.
Right.
You know, federationized. Into the people, and then with Voyager, we get now we've pacified the Borg, and we have a Borg among us.
To its extent, I mean, it wasn't.
Yeah. Well,
happened during the run. You know?
Right. Well, they poison them. They give them the virus.
Right. So you're turning this into an AIDS metaphor.
Right. Well, what was that, the whole thing? They had like a debate, like, we're going to give them this virus. Is that right, Captain?
That was basically it. Jerry Ryan joined Kate Mulgrew and Roxanne Dawson, and there you go. What I think was the best part about Voyager was you had Robert Picardo as the holographic doctor.
Oh, right.
Who
I
really thought was wonderful.
The surly holographic doctor.
Yeah, it was weird and kind of amazing. You know, it was just cool.
Which was another one of their iterations of how do we explore humanity?
Yes.
Well, we do it by putting someone who's not human into human situations.
Right. He was the Data. He was the Spock.
Or the Borg girl. Right. Or, you know. Whoever, they always come up with a new one.
Right. Well, and this one, there were several. I mean, there was Jerry Ryan doing that. There was Tim Ross as Tuvok doing that. There was Robert Picardo. I mean, there was even Ethan Phillips as Neelix that was doing that. Neelix was kind of the new version of the Ferengi. You know, it was, it was an interesting thing. It was cool. The Voyager was better than I remember. You're making me revisit that. That was really cool.
You know, I guess the Enterprise, I did dig how they try to go back to the original lore and update it. You know, like they made the blue guys tougher.
And even to some extent to the original effects. I mean, they tried to make it a little more goofy.
Because I thought they were trying to take the original material and make it less campy. Like, this is what the blue guys would look like today. And they made them, the badasses who had a temper problem, even though they looked like, little blue guys. Like, angry Smurfs.
I don't know. Every of the episodes had something that kept taking you back to the original.
And how long did that last, you know?
Enterprise, I think it was 3 seasons.
Oh, there's episodes I didn't see then. Because I don't remember. I remember, like, 2.
It was 3 seasons,
which is very short-lived for Star Trek.
It's 2001, 2005, so that's 4 seasons.
4 seasons! Wow, I got some Enterprise to get in. Get in on.
You can find it. I think the part of the reason it didn't work was it had a theme song with a guitar. You know, I mean,
theme song.
It's not gonna work.
Yeah.
As much as I enjoy Bakula and I enjoy some of the people in it, it just wasn't going to work.
It wasn't going to work. Well,
so then we get to the remake, the reboot, which is totally worth watching. And I finally got my girlfriend to agree. And now you're telling me that I need to go out and watch this new one.
You're going to like it.
All right. We're going to take the kids. I mean,
it's good.
All right.
Peter Weller's, isn't it?
I believe there's only one.
Weller?
Yeah, I think he's...
He's only singular. One person? How does he do all those great things?
I'm pretty sure he's a singular. But if you haven't checked out his early stuff, there are 2 movies you have to see, which are RoboCop, the Hall of Fame movie of all time.
Yes.
And for my money, you have to go see Leviathan, which is on Netflix.
Very good.
Which is my favorite of the we're really trying to be alien without being alien movies.
I'll tell you what, I want to visit RoboCop.
It's coming. The remake is coming.
It's a TV show, right?
Is it a TV show?
With Carl Urban, I believe.
Is it?
I read somewhere about that TV show.
RoboCop
like.
Sure, dude.
Maybe they meant series.
With Gary Oldman, and Michael Keaton. Sam Jackson, Abby Cornish.
So he's not in it.
Haley.
I'll look up where I saw he's doing something and it's similar to that.
Yeah.
Joel
Kinnaman is playing the RoboCop.
Right.
There.
Okay. But I would love to voyage into RoboCop world. I'll buy that for $1.
Sure. J.J. Baruchel, that we could never figure out how to pronounce his name.
He's in it?
Yeah.
Oh, nice. All right. So. A little off-the-cuff episode there.
Yeah, quick. This is
a little
for you
filler.
Guys.
I'm Jimmy G.
I'm Eric Gratton.
And you can find me on Twitter at The Lazy Muse.
And I'm at Totally Kidding, or you can find me at pinetarpress.com under the heading Obstructed Review.
Yeah, anything you want to say to us, you can go to or email us at theverylazymuse@gmail.com. And as always, please go to iTunes. Leave us whatever kind of comment you want, whatever star you want, and you may win a prize.
A giveaway, in fact.
A giveaway. You can find us at our Facebook page, facebook.com/ The Very Lazy Muse. The Lazy Muse, sorry.
You're killing me.
I'm killing you. Well, we're two beers in, and I'm in a rush to go pick up my daughter from school.
Yes, I'm sorry. We gotta go. All right, bye, everybody.
Talk at you later. I'm not sure what worries me more.